The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello there, and welcome to the Hosts of Westworld, a fan critical podcast. Today we're covering episode 5, titled Genre. Once again, it is just the 3 Minute Men.
Yeah, boy, indeed.
So, how's it going, Lem?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Just chugging along in ISO times, you know. Glad to speak to you guys, get some other interactions going on. At the moment, it's just me, my girlfriend, and my dog. So,
your girlfriend or your mum?
You know, it's well, all
right.
Mum's in the UK.
Well, so, just for context, yeah, Len started calling his girlfriend Mama because of the dog. So,
only in front of the dog.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's just so weird. Talking of weird, Gaz, how's it going, mate?
Okay, thanks, mate. Yeah, all right.
Started calling your wife Mama yet, or?
Definitely not. No, no dogs.
Preparation,
no dogs
anything.
Here, so no need. But no, it's been a busy week. I had a shave. And
yeah, I did that the other week, didn't I?
Yeah.
Big moments.
What are you shaving?
Big moments.
What big are events. You shaving, Len?
Well, you know, one of our sponsors was Manscaped. You know, everywhere, John. Everywhere gets a shave.
Well, we're not shouting them out yet because, you know.
They're not the sponsor of Westworld, no. But, you know, our listeners know.
Okay. They know.
What about you, John? How's your week been?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I haven't started calling my wife Mama, even though she is one. But I have started calling her Mimu. Now, the reason I've done that is I'll always say Dada to Ella.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sort of sabotaging the first word. So it makes more sense. Because if she does end up saying Mimu first, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Whereas I think she's probably going to go Dada, but you know, fingers crossed on that. That's the life that I lead now. It's fucking isolation. Excellent. But there you go.
Well, I've got a good isolation story today, John. I just remembered one for today. So went out to do my essential shop, you know, weekly shop to get everything in. Planned all my meals out and everything, and you know, baking is something that people do. In these times, people are turning to baking. So all the flour was sold out in several shops. And you know, so anyway, we're there at the shop and this little nonna comes up to us. She must be like, I don't know, 90 or late 80s. She's old, little. And she's like, she doesn't speak very good English. She's like Italian. And she was like, can you help me get the flour? Mm. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's all sold out. So we were just walking down the high street, walked into this other little artisan shop. This was about 15 minutes later, and we saw there was some flour. So we was like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll buy this flour. And then Mel, my missus, was like, oh, we should get some for the nonna. I was like, she probably won't be there. Mm. Anyway, so we pick up an extra bag of flour, go back to the shop, bless her, she's not there. So then we start driving around like the suburb, seeing if she's like walking home somewhere. And we're just about to give up. And we see her on this corner. We pull over and we go give her this little bag of flour so she could bake her cakes. She was over the moon.
Oh, that's very nice.
Lovely stuff.
That's,
so it's a good little ISO story.
What a wholesome story.
Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised with that.
It was nice. She was actually lovely.
Yeah.
She was so happy.
Yeah, that's good.
Did she bake you anything in return?
No,
for the favour?
If we see her around again, because that's like one of our locals.
You'll demand cakes.
I'll demand some cakes, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Look, well, well done. Well there done for bringing some joy to this episode because, quite frankly, I think there's not going to be much joy. Oh, God. And I'm going to kick us off this week because I always go last or middling.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah.
But I think it probably makes sense for me to go first, and then you guys can follow on. And Gaz, I know you mentioned that, you know, you're keen to hear what our thoughts are because you think this could be divisive. Oh, yeah. And you're right. I think it will be divisive. I've seen some one bloobs and some five bloobs on IMDb. I mean, they're using an antiquated 1 out of 10 and good 10 out of 10.
Good of you to convert there using the conversion rate.
To you guys. I mean, the blueberry score is thus, you know, one blueberry all the way to 5, but there can be no half blueberries. You can give it a 0, but, I mean, that's not going to happen in a Westworld pod, I don't think. So I'm going to kick us off, and I think there needs to be a little bit of context here. So in my very ill-prepared way, I've only just realised that this is an 8-episode season.
Did you not know? I figured that out. I thought you were the host. I was shocked as well.
Yeah, I am the host, but I go episode to episode. I don't rush to the end. Yeah, I nibble. I like the nibble. I like the chase.
Nibbly.
So 5 episodes into an 8 into an 8-episode season. So way over halfway. And for the most part, I've made peace with the fact that a lot of this is, it's filler and nonsense, and whatever now happens, they're going to have to squeeze a lot into the last 3 episodes. And I think I've already decided now that this is the worst season that they've done.
Right.
There, again, much like last week, there are points in this episode where I'm just like, this is terrible. This is genuinely terrible. There's one scene in particular, and we'll talk about it. And much of it is, I can imagine some people will like, you know, leaning on the title genre. There's obviously, it's named after the drug, and that drug kind of dominates the episode, or certainly the soundtrack of the episode. And if you love that, I think you probably enjoy this episode. And if you don't like that, like me, I think you're going to hate this episode. Bearing in mind, I watched this with Michelle, and she was like, oh, that was really cool, that wasn't it? And I went, no, it wasn't cool. Now get the hell out of this room. For me, I'm going to give this episode...
Nemo. Hey, Nemo, get out of the room.
Nemo, M, not Nemo. Fucking hell, she's not like a god of the ocean.
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Nemo's dead. So I'm going to give this episode 2 blueberries. I think there's quite a lot to discuss, and a lot of my kind of ranting I want to save. I just... there's one kind of bullet point that I wanted to kind of raise, and I made it fairly early. The way to describe this season for me versus certainly season one is, so subtle brilliance has just been replaced with kind of direct nonsense or confusion. And at no point do I feel like we're building to something where I'm like, oh, this is, I can't wait for the next episode, which annoys me and disappoints me and depresses me, because at the end of the last episode, I was like, yeah, this is good. They're building towards it. And it's like, and then you get this. I'm like, what the fuck? And I thought like I was going to enjoy it. That first 5 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, it's quite a cool little montage. Again, we'll get into that. But I just, this is the season that keeps on disappointing for me. And I feel like they don't really know where they're going. And for the most part, you're sitting there as a frustrated viewer going, what does this mean? What does that mean? Is it me? And we've said this before, you know, is it us? No, I don't think it is. It's not us. It's trying too hard and it's not working. And I can already see there's going to be an episode later on. It might even be 7 or 8 where you're just going to be like, oh, why has that happened? And why are they doing this? I can see it. I can see it coming. For me, it's too bloob. And to be honest, you know, I've only watched it like 2 hours ago. So I might sleep on it and it might get even worse. But yeah, two bloob for me.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll chime in as a
more positive,
more positive outlook on the episode.
Contrasting point.
I will say this. I really did not like the use of the drug genre. I felt that we covered a show, obviously famously, The 3 Minute Men and Watchmen, and there was an episode which featured around a drug called nostalgia in that show. And I felt this was a very poorly executed version of that.
100%.
The nostalgia unbelievable. Yeah,
the nostalgia stuff was unbelievable, and it felt in keeping with the universe. And I didn't. The thing that, and I've read a lot about this because I've been through Reddit, obviously, for the theories and stuff. So I've been reading everyone's opinions, and it doesn't. The drug doesn't actually serve the plot in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
There is nothing that that drug does that heightens him to a point where he saves someone, or lessens him to a point where he's in peril, or does anything to further the story in any way, shape, or form. It is purely there. So. And I'm going to say right now, I'm going to give this episode a 4 blueberries because I'm sounding negative. But I'm not. I actually really enjoyed a lot of it. If you take away the genre drug stuff, I actually had a good time with the episode. I liked the action. I liked, I liked the releasing of the data. I liked some of the background of Serac. I like some of the stuff I found really interesting, and it gripped me the whole way through. I just felt the drug was pointless. And as so, I disregarded it as pointless throughout the episode and just tried to watch those scenes as they were without... It felt like someone was figuring out what free effects come with their editing software. So first bit, they were like, oh yeah, oh, you seen this? We can make stuff black and white. And then they were like, oh, look, there's the pulse effect. You know, and I'm an editor, so I know that you get these random shit effects and transitions in your video packages. And it just felt like they were constantly doing that. And I was like, I'm not getting any genre here. You're not, people aren't breaking out into song like a musical in one and then in another one. It's not like horror. Mm.
It's just a soundtrack.
It was none of that. So, exactly. I love hearing the soundtracks. Yeah. I just felt it was unnecessary.
But on that, you know, we're all massive fans of Ramin Djawadi. He's brilliant.
Yep,
he's a legend. He is brilliant.
I feel fairly confident that this is a misstep for him. Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, he's been given the episode and gone, right, I'm going to stick this in. I'm not saying that. But the music doesn't work at all in this episode. I mean,
it's not syncing.
There's one part where it's like, forget the genre stuff. There's a part later on where the music just does not make sense with what's going on. And I'm just like, what's the audio mixing is like, it's a misstep. It's a serious misstep.
I know what track you're talking about, the Shining track. I mean, it just makes
no sense. Yeah, I mean, that was terrible, and we'll get onto that in a bit. Like, we could probably rant for ages.
But anyway, of course, I don't want to be negative because, honestly, I actually enjoyed the episode. And as I said, if you take away the drug and the special effects stuff, I thought most of it was pretty good. And actually, I felt it was quite accelerated. Like, I felt like out of nowhere, Serac was undone in one episode. I was like, okay, she's released all this data to the world and that's a massive thing. And I couldn't believe that the plot had advanced so much. My only worry is, and this is a concern, like John is 100% correct when, I am finding this entertaining, mainly because of the world building and some of the cool future stuff, and I'm loving that. But John is correct when he says subtlety has gone out the window, and it has. And I am worried. I saw the preview for next week's episode, and I'm a bit concerned. So I'm going to give this a 4. I just think it's good. The action's good. It could have been a 5 if the genre stuff wasn't there. I'm not going to lie to you. I actually really enjoyed the episode. And I like the momentum. But I dislike the genre thing, just like you did, John.
Mm. All right. It seems like we swapped roles from last week where I kind of actually enjoyed last week's episode and you guys didn't. So we've disagreed there. So that should mean that Gaz really enjoys this episode. Gaz.
Unfortunately, your theory is about as good as most of Len's Westworld Wandering theories.
Hey, they're not mine. I get them from Reddit, yeah.
It's going to last.
And then I tell them to you.
It's going
to
last about as long before being disproven as well. for me, the big choice. I know you've discussed it, and you've discussed it very eloquently and said a lot of the things that I was thinking. But the big choice in this episode was the genre stuff, and yeah. I was watching it and just thought, this is awful. This is absolutely awful. The moment when it turns into a
oh god,
when it turns no, into he's a romantic. Right. When the like romance music kicks up and
yeah, yeah.
And like Caleb staring
is there
at Dolores
with the fire in slow mo.
I was like,
yeah.
This is honestly, this is like a poor Disney movie. It's just garbage. And the use of Ride of the Valkyries as well. I mean, it's so cheap, and it feels like a comedy to me now. Ride of the Valkyries, because it gets used in
get used all the time.
And I was absolutely stunned about, and I ended up looking at seven different like review websites, because I was like, I came away thinking, God, that was awful. I'm looking forward to seeing what other people have written about this. They all loved it. They loved it. Every single review site that I went on that was reviewing this episode said that they thought this was a brave choice, and that it was it allowed for incredible creativity and some amazing scenes. I just thought it was terrible, and it's, as you said, Len, served zero purpose, cheapened the show again. And this is my issue: they keep making choices that cheapen the show. Do you want us to take it seriously, or do you want to play Ride of the Valkyries when people are shooting giant cannon gun things, and play romantic music when Caleb's looking at Dolores? Like, you can have one or the other.
We'll get onto that.
There was a point where I thought, maybe that's the issue. Maybe I'm taking this show too seriously, and it doesn't actually want to be taken seriously. And I think if that's the case, that's all right. Like, you can do that. You can have a show that's a bit silly.
It is serious though.
But it is serious.
It's not. It isn't trying to be funny.
And yeah. And it doesn't.
What's your score, Gaz? Out of curiosity.
It's got to be two blueberries. I wanted to like it. I wanted to get back on the hype train, because I loved the first episode. I loved it, and I love the world that they've created. I was really disappointed.
I don't know how people. If this is the thing that annoys me, like, if people watch and have loved Watchmen, and a lot of our listeners followed us for our Watchmen coverage, so thank you for that. And you know how passionately we spoke about the nostalgia episode. I don't think anyone who's seen that nostalgia episode can look at this and say this was well done.
No,
because this feels like, I just said, someone's got their first piece of editing kit. They've got some transitions and different effects, and they've got their favourite tracks from films and just laid it against it, and it's like a studio project.
They weren't
and,
very
and that
good.
Is what the drug feels like. But I think the actual plot and stuff, I like it. And I like the stuff like shooting a rocket out of a car. It's cool. Like, that's cool. Big so, set pieces. That's,
can I,
that's
can
good.
I,
but,
can I just say, like, it's a... I'm giving it two blueberries. It's not a good score. But I will agree with you that there was enough in the narrative, there was enough in the plot to keep me to have me wanting to come back for more. Like, I still want to see how this plays out. I quite liked the younger Serac. Like, I couldn't believe how much he looked like a young version of him.
That is true.
His eyes are in exactly the same place. It's mental. There's enough in that story still. Just some really cheap decisions. But look, there's a story there, and it progressed a bit in this episode, which is a positive.
Yeah, I mean, look, normally, certainly in the past, if maybe in years past where I was slightly immature and certainly more drunk than I am now, it's only 11:30 in the UK, AM, once Len gives a score that I think is so out of kilter with mine, I'd go on the attack. The only reason that I don't now is I think there's enough there for this to be a 4 or 5 bloob episode. But like, my frustrations are with a lot of... So if someone just wrote down on a sheet of paper, like, where season 3, what was going to take place and who was in it and what was going to happen, I'd be like, fucking hell, this sounds fascinating. And even in the episodes that I haven't liked, and even in this episode, like, I'd sit there and go, the reason I'm annoyed is that it should be brilliant. It should be good. And it isn't, or at least for me. It feels wrong. It almost feels like someone else has taken over this show. Like someone died halfway through and then someone was like, all right, well, look, I mean, I've got the bare bones of what the story is. I'll take it over. Like when Spielberg took over Kubrick stuff. It's kind of like the essence is there, but it's not. It doesn't feel right. And this whole season has felt like that for me. It's sad because, you know, again, we talk a lot about Game of Thrones, bringing this podcast together and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when Westworld season one ended, we hadn't even started. But when we were talking about covering season two, I was right there, hand up. I want to host this because I absolutely loved it. And this, it's just like, it's not the same. It does not feel like, it's not even that difficult to have to cover these episodes. So there you go. That's the eulogy. But we will have to cover.
Jesus.
We will have to cover this episode.
Well, look, I think, like you say, I think I agree in that I can see how somebody could be positive about this episode. I can see why Len's giving it a 4 blueberry. I suppose it comes down to how you see the genre trip and how much you think that impacts your overall view of the episode.
Imagine, like, so I'm an Arsenal fan and I look at our team and I'm like, how are they not better than they are? Why are they so terrible? I don't understand. And it would be the same with, you know, Man United. You'd look at them and go, there's some fucking seriously good players in that team. Why are they so shit? And it's a bit like, and that is what this season feels like. It's like, it's you can't explain it. You just look at it and go, what is wrong with you? You know, I want my fucking season ticket money back. But anyway, that's enough of that. That's
so
too
what is,
long.
What's more depressing? Arsenal season or Westworld season 3?
Ooh. Do you know what? I'll have a think. I'll give you an answer once we've done our little advert. But before the little advert, it feels like I should say that, look, if you've not enjoyed any of us slagging this episode off, we will still have Len and his Westworld wanderings at the end. So, you know, you could probably just skip to that, probably about an hour from now. But if you don't, we will be covering the episode and slagging it off in our own way whilst Len defends it. But before all of that chaos, we're going to have a little advert.
For my kind, there was one place we were never allowed to go. One place we were never allowed to see. Your world.
Hello there. Yep, back at the advert section. A little more joyful because I've recorded this at a different time. So, you know, there you go. I haven't really. I wish I had. So still plug in Patreon. Obviously, you know, we're in isolation and it is quite difficult for us to, you know, bang out these episodes and we're all separated from one another. But what does help is when you guys, you know, give us money to do it. That is, that's what I'm in it for, to be honest. So patreon.com/fancritical, you know, give us some money and go, look, this is what I want you to watch. This is what I want to star in, because you can appear in an episode should you wish. Not at the moment, because it's too difficult, but, you know, we've got that on pause.
Soon, when this is
over.
Soon.
Mm. We've got some commission podcasts that we will be doing shortly. So World War Z is one of them. Yep. Len's mm-hmm. obviously come up with the idea
Beth's
of us.
Commission, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good on you, Panico at the Discio. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got RoboCop, which we've promised to do as part of our series of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That?
Yeah.
Gaz, have you seen RoboCop at this point?
I have now seen RoboCop.
Oh! So
we've got that.
We're good to
okay,
go.
So
locked and loaded.
Yeah. So can you give us a little tease of the robot cop?
Well, let me just say, now every time you bring up a robot in Westworld that looks like Ed, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, well,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, we'll discuss him. Don't worry.
This is exciting.
And his inability to climb downstairs.
Yeah, there you go.
The greatest. I love it.
I'm liking it.
I love the way he looks at the best thing in that film is the way Ed Tonine literally looks at the stairs, flexes his little feet, looks at the stairs again, flexes his little foot, puts it on it, and then tumbles
immediately
down in the most hilarious fashion.
Yeah. And then I also like weird
it.
Noises.
Yeah, I also like it when the dog in the background just starts going mental.
can you tell Mumma to look after the dog?
Billy's she's on neighbourhood watch. She's obviously sensed an Ed 209 walking down the street to get me because I've been slagging him off.
So build some stairs. Yeah. You'd be absolutely fine.
Well, he lives on the ground floor, so he's in serious trouble.
No, you're fucked, mate.
Yeah, I'm fucked.
You are dead.
I'm fucked. Yep.
Good. So that's a lot of nonsense. But look, you know, Fan Critical Channel. We've got over 200 podcasts, probably 250 at this point, maybe even 5,000. Who knows? But go over and listen to them whilst you're stuck in isolation. I had a little look, actually, at some of our listens, and there are some obscure ones, like Deadpool 2. I mean, that's had, like, 5 listens in the last 7 days. Who's listening to that, honestly?
That's old.
If you're listening to this and you've been listening to that, can you write in and explain why you are re-listening to old podcasts?
Yeah.
Because it freaks me out a little bit, to be honest.
I love it.
Yeah, you love it. Yeah, it's probably you.
Listen to them all.
Yeah.
I'm just re-listening to that podcast. I remember we did that podcast, John. We were both very hungover. So I don't think it's our best, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's moments in it.
Well, we did 2 on that
positive
day.
Positive information for an advert.
Well, look, did solo on that day. And then we went to Wembley, didn't we? Remember that?
And got drunk again.
Got absolutely battered. What a day. Ah, mate, honestly, life when we weren't isolated was so much better. But if you are going to be stuck in isolation, you could do worse than listening to Fan Critical. So the other thing that I should add, breaking news here, we are going to do the worst of Netflix again. I swear on my life, we will continue to say that in every advert that we ever do, ever. The good news is, we have both still not watched Humanoids from the Deep.
What are you both doing?
I've seen the poster,
though. I'm busy, man. Yeah, I've seen the poster.
He found time to watch RoboCop.
I'll tell you what, after this, I'll post a little picture from about 8 months ago, and it's Humanoids of the Deep, the poster, but with our faces on it instead of the woman and the monster. So, you know, little treat for everyone there. But yeah, no, it's not horrendous. Beautiful in a way. But that's it. Now we have to be slightly more depressing and start talking about this episode. So goodbye.
Let's have fun.
Let's have fun. Bye.
Welcome to my world, Maeve.
What do you want from me, then?
Dolores. I want you to track her down and kill her.
Thanks, John, for that advert. Good stuff.
Good.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that.
That's not that. You in bed with another man. That's you.
Ooh, can I get on with this podcast, John? Yes, you can, John. So, yeah. That's not me with...
It's the start of Jurassic Park. That's like Jurassic Park.
Well, I do mention Jurassic Park later on, tour. So... You know,
there you go.
It wouldn't be a Fan Critical podcast.
Hello, John.
Without
it's cloning, John.
Right. So we are about 25 minutes into this episode, and is already chaos.
Yeah.
Good. So we open.
Bring
with...
back Emma.
She's in a ditch somewhere. But we open with Serac.
She's drunk, man.
So we open with Serac. Stop laughing, man. So we open with Serac and his brother. Do you remember what his brother's name is?
Mon frère.
Oh, good guess. I wish it was. Len? Don't Google it. Just...
No.
Right.
No, I'm not.
Right.
Don't worry about
Jean.
Xenon. I think it's Xenon.
Yeah, so it's...
Not Sean.
No, it's not Sean. Jean. It's in Jean-Philippe. Fucking Sean. Anyway,
Sean the Sheep.
Yeah.
You English.
So Serac.
You English
and
always butcher the
Sean
French
the
language.
Sheep. Butchering the French language. But
who the fuck is Sean?
Yeah. No, I don't remember, right? Yeah. So
I don't remember no fucking Sean in this.
Yeah, so
I remember Jean.
So Serac and Sean Connery. So cool little opening. explaining the backstory of Serac, interspersed with a destroyed Paris. Little competition for you. So there's some real footage of riots taking place. Do you know what those riots were?
They're the riots in Paris. They are the Paris riots.
The Yellow Jacket riots. I don't think... Were they?
Well, it was competition, so, you know, Len has guessed Paris.
I'm going to say I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that the riots were actually footage from... I'm going to say it was Venezuela.
Now, South America, that's a bit of a mad guess. But it is, isn't it? Turns out that, who knows, because I haven't done the research. But but if you do know, you know, just tweet in. You know, give us a little tweet and go, hello, John, or Mr. McCann, to be honest, because we're not that familiar. Hello, Mr. McCann. This is where the riots took place. And bonus points for anyone that was involved in any of those riots. That'd be mad. Imagine that.
If you threw a brick, through a window,
I gassed someone.
Give you a free Patreon account.
Yeah, I gassed a nonna. No, why have you done that?
No, leave nonna alone. Give them flour. Give them flour. Yeah. Give them flour.
You say that, fucking nonna was probably there throwing flour on policemen. Anyway, so there's a couple of quotes here. So God has abandoned us. God never existed. Yeah, well, let's bloody make a God then, yeah? So don't... Yeah, and that's what they do. So ultimately, Rehoboam is their God to save humanity. So what did you make of... I might go to Len first for maybe a slightly more positive start, but... What did you make of this little intro to Serac and Jean, or Sean?
Yeah, it's quite good. I thought we were definitely going to get some of the... he's actually suffering from radiation poisoning. That was actually brought up in this episode later on. That was a theory that we talked about last week in Crazy Reddit Theories, Westworld Wanderings. I liked it. I liked seeing the fact that his motivation is because the world was... basically at war, it seemed, and Paris was destroyed and probably other locations around the world, and they wanted to create this machine to control humanity who gets in these cycles of prosperity and then despair. So I thought that was quite interesting, and his motivations are quite different to that of, say, a Ford type character. Ford obviously, you know, thinks humanity has had its time and it's time for the life of his creations, and Serac is more of the opinion that no, humanity, it's not their fault, we just need to, you know, give them order, essentially. Quite interesting different things that the show's going
I've got
for
to tell you,
this season.
I've got to tell you, at this point I'm on the Serac bandwagon, you know. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, he's like Jesus in a way, like, what do you mean? He's talking about the sacrifice of what he's doing, and you know, he's our boy. You know, fuck Dolores. So what do you reckon, Gaz? Like, fuck Dolores, or, you know?
100% yes.
Yeah, it's all about that with you, isn't it?
I mean, this was probably the first episode that it actually became clear kind of who you're supposed to root for, I guess. But not until a little bit later. I liked the opening as well, to be honest. I thought this was a cracking start. Was looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, well, this is definitely at least the two bloob. Yeah, no way it can
so
get lower.
It proved.
Yeah, so anyway, so we skip forward and Serac is... basically demonstrating the power of the system and the potential corruption of the system in manipulating the Brazilian president to basically do what he/the system says. Interestingly enough, we get the juxtaposition of the fly buzzing around the president. And then if you compare that to how Dolores in the very first episode kind of easily just dispatches killed the fly. So you get the juxtaposition of like how Dolores just easily kills the fly versus this bumbling president that is struggling to kind of kill this buzzing fly. And also you could say the fly represents kind of the hosts or even the system. Like, you're looking at it and I'm like, that's quite cool. I quite like that. It's a nod to when Westworld was actually really good. but that's
hey guys, remember this?
But that's how I read that that scene. How did you read that?
I thought he was a bit shit, really. Like, I did like this start. I just thought the Brazilian president was rubbish. I've seen some criticisms as well. Maybe if we've got any Brazilian listeners or Portuguese speaking listeners, they might be able to tell us. Mm. But apparently, his accent was abysmal. Whereas when Serac broke into Portuguese for a moment, he nailed it. They said,
really?
That's
fucking hell.
Yeah. But anyway, he was just a bit bumbling, wasn't he? It was shit. He's like, oh yes, oh, I'm the president. I can do what I want. Oh no, I can't.
But
the fly.
But you are right though. But I think that's a conscious choice of making him seem like he's not in control versus how the episode ends. But we'll go back to that, obviously, at the end of the recap. Len, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean, I thought it was such a bizarre...
You've given it four blooms, so give us more than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I enjoyed the start. I didn't actually love the meeting. The fly thing, I'm totally with you, John. The fly thing is the fly theory, or theories about flies, have been buzzing around since season one.
What's that buzz?
So it's good to have a bit of that fly theory back. Reddit right now is all about the flies. I mean, there are no theories that I'm going to mention that involve flies later. But,
yeah, you're just winging it. He's winging
it's
it.
It's just good to hear the flies.
He's winging it.
It's just good that flies are back in the conversation. But, you know, other than that, I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I liked the beginning. I didn't love the meeting. I felt it felt a bit tacked on to the beginning, if anything, to be honest with you, with the cold open.
Yeah, so, I agree.
But it was fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Good. I thought that was going to be better, to be honest, but that's fine. So we get the little credits, don't we? And I skipped the credits this time. I never do that. But this time I was like, I'll just get on with it. So still with Serac and him and his brother, we get the creation of the system. Robbie. Is that what we're calling it? Robbie. I can't remember. Robbie?
Well, yeah, Robbie.
There were some very different pronunciations of its full name today compared to what we've been calling it as well.
Rehobam.
They were calling it like Rehobam.
Rehobam.
I was like, who? Who, sorry? Rehobam.
That's his cousin, isn't it?
Just call it Robbie, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. New version, isn't it?
Jerobam.
1.2. So we get introduced to Dempsey Sr. What a load of shit his
what
character is.
What a wanker.
What a load of dick. Shit. So... but he is, his character is wank. Like, I mean, and look, anyone that wants to capture anything of us, you know, if you want to send us a message and go, yeah, I quite like your podcast, that bit where you said Dempsey Sr. was a load of wank. Yeah, you can do that because he was. You know, he's a money bags that has no understanding of his investment, which makes absolutely no sense. We're not talking about someone that is like, inherited the money like, you know, Dempsey Jr.
Dempsey Jr.
It makes sense. But we've got to assume at this point, Dempsey Sr., he's built his empire. So why the fuck would he invest in two young Frenchmen anyway? But why would he invest in two young Frenchmen to then not understand what they're doing? It was shit. It was lazy. In fact, I've written, it was a bit annoying and a bit lazy, but whatever, let's just get on with it. So we will.
Yeah, let's get on with it.
So back in the present, we get Serac. He finds out that Dempsey Jr. is missing. He's like, no, you know, when we get the news, it is not good because I don't like the news because the system will already tell me what is going on. And I'm like, fucking hell, he's got a good accent, hasn't he? Wish I had that. But we then go to Dolores, Cal. Oh, way better. Much better. But it doesn't bother me. I've got other good things.
Not better than mine.
So Dolores, Cal and Liam Dempsey. There's lots happening, actually, in this next bit. So I'll bullet point the key moments and you guys can jump in with each bullet point, should you wish, or you can say pass.
Okay.
So, yeah. So right. Dempsey Jr. drugs Cal with genre. Now, I'm going to jump in here because I told you guys, I told you guys last week that the reason for that scene making that gorgeous woman absolutely monged out when she watched Stubbs and Dolores fight was they were trying to say that that drug is powerful and that it would mean something later on. And I was absolutely correct. It did.
Well, I then confirmed it last week by saying, yes, I think next week's episode is called the same name as the drug.
So, he did, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you cheated by looking at the answers, whereas I just worked it out for myself. Like, you're doing the test with a calculator, whereas I'm just winging it and then being annoyed that we got the same score. So,
if you read the fine print, it says calculators are allowed.
Len, thoughts? Or you want to pass?
Pass.
Pass. Gaz, pass.
I just, yeah.
Just briefly, very quickly, I thought, well, Caleb, like, the drug has obviously knocked him out. Like, it's going to have seriously messed him up. He falls to the floor, like, incapacitated. And then it doesn't affect him. He sees things in black and white for a bit. Mm.
Yeah. He's just walking around.
Yeah.
Normally.
Annoyed
shooting
me.
Guns.
Anyway.
I will say this.
You missed your chance.
Okay, yeah. Agreed.
So, anyway, so next bullet point. I mean, I think I'm just being lazy here. I've just written they're being hunted by Serac's men. So, we can pass that.
I mean, I thought the action was quite cool.
No.
Like, if you're talking about the car chase scene.
No, not onto that yet, so.
Okay, all right, sorry.
Yep, so pass.
Pass.
Yep. Pass.
Pass. Genre makes for the worst viewing experience possible, with needless black and white shots and music that does not match or live up to Ramin Djawadi's usual brilliance. At this point, I'll even say this is a misstep and the worst audio mixing the show has ever done.
Mm. I mean, I would say we'll talk about it, but I kind of feel like we've done it already, to be completely honest with you, in terms of, I think we've expressed why it doesn't work. I think we've expressed why we didn't enjoy the creative decision made with the genre drug and compared it to something where we did feel it was
that's
far
it.
Superior.
That is it, though. So, that is it. I feel like even without The Watchmen and nostalgia, I think even without that, I'd watch this and go, what's the point of this? Like, artistically, it doesn't add anything to do. I'm not the sort of person that will jump onto Instagram and go, I need to post this shot as black and white because it will look better. Like, it's just, no. Like, use it when it makes sense.
I just feel like it's a misstep. You're right, creative misstep. The score didn't work. The score didn't work once, actually.
No. Not once.
We'll talk about a bit
they
later,
tried to they tried to overlay some of this additional music on top of the actual Westworld score that just sounded awful. I think like you said, Len, we have discussed it, but in summary for me, it's not a terrible idea, but it adds nothing to the plot and it was terribly executed.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? I will add to it. Like, if they're going to do it and they're going to call this drug genre, go all in.
Yeah, fucking do it properly.
When it was black and white, they should have done it like 1920, back like Westworld style.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They should have gone like, right, just like dirt roads, horse and carriage chase. Like, you know, I'm just saying, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Yeah. Do that. And then it changed, like we said, to...
Put a little trilby hat on Caleb or something.
Yeah, 100%. And then they should have gone like... I don't know, musical, like we said, John, and people should have been breaking. You know, just like if you're going to go for it.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and slap an effect on it and pretend that it's going to be okay.
Look,
and that's the problem. He didn't go for it.
I've got to be honest. Like, I'm not necessarily an advocate of taking drugs. And look, if you're listening to this,
this drug looked pointless.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's the point? Like, honestly, it's like someone going, yeah, just put some fucking buds in and just listen to random music. Like, to be honest, I don't mind listening to film soundtracks because I love all that shit. But if someone said, well, yeah, do you know what? You don't even have to put the headphones in. You just take this drug and just music just randomly plays. I'd be like, well, what's the fucking point in that? I can't even fucking select the tune. So anyway, we're going to move on. But I think we're all in agreement that that is terrible. I mean, even Scrubs. Scrubs did an episode that was a musical.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, the musical. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. They went for it. They went for it. And in a show like Scrubs, you can do that. Buffy did it. Buffy did it.
Yeah, they're on minimum wage. They're on minimum wage versus these guys. Like,
yeah.
Like, how is that? How is that possible? But anyway, next point. Next bullet point. Again, you can pass or discuss. So Cal, he's done something that I've also done recently. He's bought himself a Call of Duty Warzone Battle Pass. So he gets himself a homing missile launcher that just blows up a chasing car. Now, I have conflicting emotions about this because I'm sitting here and I'm like, this show is not going in the direction that I want it to, unlike the missile. And then you look at this and you're like, fucking hell, how impressive is it that they've got the budget to do something like this and it actually looks good? Like, this is TV again. This is, I'm impressed with the execution of a scene like that. But it's in an episode that I don't enjoy. So again, we can skip or we can discuss.
No, all I'll say about it is set pieces are good in this season. Mm. I like the world that they've created. I like the tech. I like the car chase is cool. I love the fact that Dolores uses her, her bike as like a horse, like she did in Westworld, like a trusty steed. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's got that sort of parallel to it. I quite like that sort of element of the story. Yeah. And she's always talking to the bike, you know, she's always like, oh yeah, do this, do that. And it's quite cute in a way. It's like the bike is a little character that then got blown up. But what I mean is, it's just quite nice. And I enjoyed the scene. I mean, take Ride of the Valkyries off it or whatever, and you know, it's all good.
Well, apparently,
do you think there's a chance that the bike is
Teddy.
Arya's horse from season 8 of Game of Thrones.
All right, spoiler warning.
In the future.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, well, that was a good horse.
That was the point of the horse the whole time.
So, now, I would say, do we want to skip this point? But I know Gaz is going to go off on one, and this is your moment to be great. But I've written... cue a dreadful moment, probably the worst moment in Westworld history, of Cal looking at Dolores, firing away as another genre change happens, this time romantic background music, as he stares in admiration as he's being shot at. Discuss.
I can't get over how much this felt like... I'm going to describe a movie to you and tell me if this makes you think of anything, right? Imagine like Pixar or DreamWorks, in fact. DreamWorks. Think about DreamWorks animations. And you've got a movie where there's a guy, and he's like a really average guy. He's just a regular old...
It's an average Joe. Fella. It's an average Joe.
Just an average Joe. Average Joe. And he ends up... due to divine intervention or just bizarre circumstances, he ends up meeting this like badass girl, right? Who's like a superhero kind of thing.
I'm just gonna interrupt quickly. You know, we get a lot of American listeners, obviously loads in Chicago and Brooklyn, which is where most of our listeners are. Manhattan is another one. They will not understand badass. So, you know, translate.
Badass.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And do you know, as I'm describing it, there is one particular movie that has come to mind. And it's not a bad movie. It's absolutely not a bad movie. And there will always be in these movies, there will always be a moment where the hapless fella has been sort of dragged along by this like superhero chick who knows what she's doing, and she's doing flips around and sort of keeps saving this guy who's like, oh my God, what's happening? Oh, bumbling around. And there will be a moment in the middle of the action scene where he'll look over and just be like, da, 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 da,
yeah. The best example and is then, the Lego movie, Gaz.
The Lego movie is the one that I was thinking of. Yeah. Thank you. And
but that's funny.
It's not supposed to be that, fine. Is it?
That is a great... That's a great movie.
Yeah.
The Lego movie is a brilliant movie.
Unbelievable.
However, film. That's a comedy I'm going to enjoy with... I was going to say with an eight-year-old kid, but I don't know any eight-year-old kids, so that's really weird if I do that. But you know what I mean? Like, when I have kids and they're 8 years old, I'm going to show them the Lego movie and I'm going to watch it.
Great film.
There you go. I'm going to laugh. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Is that a spoiler warning for... Gaz and Megan's plans there. So planning to have an eight-year-old boy immediately. So not sure it works that way.
That'll be painful.
But I'll tell you what, I'm not gonna sit them down and watch episode 5, season 3 of Westworld, because it that isn't what Westworld should be about. However, this scene would have the exact same is the exact same thing, and that's what's mental. It's so out of keeping with what the show's supposed to be, and this is what I keep coming back to, is maybe I've got the right idea of what this show is, because that isn't it.
So there's a scene in Game of Thrones it's in the last episode, and just in case there are people that are listening to this that haven't watched it, I'm not going to necessarily spoil it. Even though the makers did that by creating a zero bloop final episode, but whatever. So there's a bit that I watched, and I watched it and I was like, you stick a laughter track on that and it will be perfect. This is the same. I rewatched that scene and I have done, and I've imagined it with a laughter track. It goes perfectly. Like, you get this bit, the music plays, it turns to Aaron Paul. And his face, you stick in like a Friends laughter track and it would be seamless. And that is like, I'm not, it's just.
All I was saying in its defense is, and there's very little defense here. And as I said to you, they should have gone all in on the situation. So, you know what? I know this sounds stupid, but if this drug is so powerful and it's so cool and it's cool genre and it goes through the different genres, they should have put a laughter track in. And they should have gone for it, like I said, and they just didn't. And because they didn't execute it well. Like, for the average watcher, they're not watching this going, that is, oh, we've shifted genre right now. But honestly, you're not. The changes aren't good enough. Yeah. They're not. It doesn't make any sense. And that's the problem. We get it. We get what they're going for.
Oh, but watch out! Watch out for the final genre. Whoa! Look out! Whoa!
We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's crack on, because I feel like that scene is a misstep because of the drug.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it is 20 minutes of the episode. But anyway, so we just echoing Gaz's point there. So I'd imagine he's going to want to talk about this, but I've written yay. So those two characters from episode 1 are back. So, I mean, I know what their names are, but I'm not even going to mention them. One is called Ash, and I'll say her name because we need to refer to her in the end. I think the second one is called like Wiggle or Jiggles or something. Who cares?
Giggles.
Giggles, sorry, yeah. But actually what we're going to call him is Exposition Man, because he just out of nowhere just explains to the audience, certainly no one else, what stage of genre he's at, how many stages there are, and to watch out for that last act. It's just like, what the fuck is this?
How has he possibly ascertained that he's on genre?
Like, yeah, is he listening?
He can't hear the music that Caleb's hearing. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's walking about fine, shooting rocket launchers around. Like, no problem.
If he was gurning away, you'd be like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Exactly.
No, he isn't. He's just standing there like he always does.
This is what I was going to say earlier, actually. Just, it's funny, isn't it? Aaron Paul's gone from Breaking Bad, where he was constantly high on meth, to a show where he's got told to just look high again in one episode. It's like, oh, he can't catch a break, can he, this kid?
But that's the thing. He didn't do very well at looking like he was high in this one. And we know he's good at doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
He is good at doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in season two. He's very good at it.
All right. Well,
still anyway. Love him. Yeah. Still love him.
Yeah, he's good. Look.
Oh, he's great. He's, no, Caleb is still good. Don't get me
wrong.
Yeah,
he's good. He's not great. He's good. So anyway, so we go back to Scottish Dolores.
Elite. Martin.
Hey, Elite. And
Elite.
And Beignard.
Hey, Beignard.
And
Elite, Beignard. Hey, Elite.
Hey, come over here, Bernie. And we get another explanation of the system. Why? Why? I've worked it out now. Stop talking about it. You don't have to explain it to every new character that comes. Just assume that they've had that conversation off camera. Stop it. So anyway, in the same instant, Dolores, she gets some of Serac's old memories, which they don't really matter until later, but that's fine. So
I kind of feel like they do matter because I
not think right now
these memory no but I
as in our recap
this backstory we're getting from Serac mm-hmm. is that what she downloaded that is where the way they're trying to tell this story because otherwise the episode has no cohesion. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why I liked it because she downloaded these memories and we're getting to see these snippets of Serac's life. Mm. And we were told earlier there was nothing on Serac anywhere in the world. So she's the only one with this information. So I quite like the way that makes the episode cohesive for me because otherwise it makes no sense for them to keep bouncing between genre, which they do, to Serac.
Does it make sense that she's got a hold of his memories fairly easily?
Well, that could be a twist coming up, John, that we can only speculate on.
Well, it's all part will we speculate? In Westworld Wonderings about it.
We actually won't. Wonderings this week are going to focus on Caleb and they're also going to focus on Beignard.
Fair enough. So anyway, so back to the origin story of Serac. We see the power of the system again. Why? Look, I fucking get it at this point. You know, we know it can manipulate, it knows everything and it can manipulate everything. Just get on with the fucking story. If next episode is just an origin story of the system guessing what is going to happen with stocks, it's zero bloob, I'm telling you. This stuff, we don't need it. Why is it in this episode?
Yeah, I feel like it was okay. I actually quite like seeing a young Serac and his brother.
That's
and I like
fine, but what we don't need is a we've stuff. Turned this 5 million into 100 million. In a way, I'm not even impressed with that as an investment.
it should be better. Should be better, shouldn't it?
I mean, if you fucking know how the market is going to go, how is that your profit in a 7-day week? Come on.
200% isn't actually that good. You should be getting for more.
If anything, poor.
That's more than 200%. But
yeah,
that's fine.
But, you know, don't worry about that.
No, 5 to 100 is 200%.
No, it's not. 100% of 5 20%. Million is 10%. It's 10 million.
Yeah, you
maths, in a way.
Anyway.
So 200% would be 20 million.
Mate, you need so that Robbie system.
Anyway, math critical. We will go through all of your mental arithmetic. Show us your work. Send in your working to fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm just saying, don't make claims that it should be better than 200% when it's significantly better than 200%.
No, but it should be better than what it is.
It was an example. It was like, look at how this works. We can do this for you.
You may as well have just gone, it's predicted the Euro Millions jackpot of 138 million. It's predicted the numbers.
No, but
that's what it's
but
done.
Imagine if you were, imagine football and you go, I know the results of every single game for the rest of the season. I've got 20 quid. I'm just going to keep betting because I know the results of every game. And at the end of the season, you had 10 grand. You'd be like, how have you only got that? That's terrible, mate.
Yeah.
What are you betting on these games? Fucking 5 pence. Anyway. So we get the quote. So humanity's story had been improvised Now it's been planned years in advance. And then it turns out that that Sean, or Jean, Serac's brother...
Who the fuck is Sean?
He's lost it. He's lost it for some reason. He's just mental now.
I didn't really understand what was happening with him.
I think we're going to get more of that in the next few episodes. So I'm giving them a little pass on that because I think they've sowed the seeds.
Well, I mean, we need to because there's only like a few episodes left. Yeah. So,
I got a theory in Westworld Wanderings.
I hope so.
Save a bit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next scene's pretty fascinating. So as Dolores decides to basically send out a push notification to everyone's phones, just saying like, hello. So just a message and that. So it's about you. And it's basically everything that you didn't want to know about yourself. So give this a read. Yeah. So this naturally causes fucking absolute chaos. Discuss.
Oh, everybody goes mental. We've got like six people on the train looking a bit sad about it. then they get off the train and there's like three people waiting for the train looking a bit sad.
There's two people beating the shit out of someone. There's a couple having another argument.
I tell you what I didn't like about this, and I love the idea, because the idea has actually been explored in a couple of shows that I really like Black Mirror. It's also been explored in Mr. Robot in its most recent season. There's some good stuff with a giant push notification there, and the way that information is brought to the masses, and there's something so devastating as this is obviously going to cause chaos. But chaos doesn't really ensue. It's sort of a more subdued awareness. The line I don't like in this whole bit is where Liam goes, wow, you've really annoyed everyone on that train. And then she goes, I've released it to everyone. It's obvious. Why would she just release it on the train? Like, what sort of line is that?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
That's exposition again. It's like, I assumed that it was to everyone. Like, what you know, imagine how angry Serac's going to be that 12 people on the train found out the information.
Yeah. But my thinking is, either, if this happened in real life, either people would just be like, what the fuck is this? This is garbage, and ignore it.
Yeah.
Or if they knew that it was genuine, they knew it was legitimate, they would absolutely lose their shit. The world would go to chaos immediately.
Yeah, but it will. I think it is. I think what we're supposed to be getting... I think there's, once again, execution's not great. I think you see the ring that is the thing that we've been seeing all season, anomaly. There's fucking loads of anomalies now. Things gone mental. So I think they're just showing it via the little ring thing and not via... it's cheaper, isn't it? Well, should we show people going mental? Nah, don't worry about it. Show the ring with more spikes.
Just have one lady throw a brick through this window.
Where'd you get that brick from?
But
it fell. World went mental, so bricks started coming apart.
But the problem with a scene like this, so the only one that works for me is the mum reading about her daughter being like a manic depressive whatever, and then potentially kidding herself.
Good.
When she's 6 to 8 years old.
That's good, that.
Yeah, but it's kind of like. The problem is when have we established that everyone is absolutely bought into this and that they even know about it? Because if someone messaged me and
they
went...
don't know about
But if someone messaged me and went, all right, so basically, so it's Facebook. Facebook has sent me an email. They're going, right, so, you know, you're going to be dead by the age of 50 because you blow your own brains out. I just look at it and go, that's fucking hilarious. I'll probably just send it to you guys. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys might be dead at this point. But what I wouldn't do is start fucking throwing punches at the nearest person.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to kick you in the head. Like, what's going on here?
What I also liked, though, what I liked is that you had that one woman who has found out that her daughter's going to commit suicide in a few years. And then that guy who found out that his mates call him an arsehole. Sorry, there's sort of two levels. It's a spectrum, isn't it? Like where?
Yeah. What's that? Was that the same guy that was standing at the top of the bridge, looking like he was going to jump onto the tracks?
I don't think it was, but maybe
I think it might have been.
Maybe that drove him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I like the idea. The concept is actually really cool.
It doesn't work in the look, if you read something and it was like, oh, this person has been slagging you off, like, do you have that sort of personality to just jump straight off a building? Like, it doesn't work in that way. Like, it's too. Yeah.
Len knows that we call him an arsehole behind his back.
It's that idea of seeing the Matrix, you know, realizing that you're in the Matrix, and I think
that's much better though.
Yeah, I think the show hasn't articulated well enough to shown us enough that these people are in the Matrix. Mm. If you get what I mean, like, we've been told it, you know, we haven't seen it long enough. It's been a 5-episode arc from when we first learned that Rehoboam even existed to the fact that now everyone knows about it. So it's actually quite short in terms of like actual bringing down the corporations. I'll reference Mr. Robot again, a fantastic show that everyone should go and watch. It's finished now, had 4 seasons. And that show centers around trying to take down giant corporations, things that control people through money and stuff like that. And the way that reality shatters around the characters and also the corporations is eloquently done over 4 seasons. And I feel like this is sort of something that's happened in 5 episodes. So I think it's difficult for us to judge it until we see it in the complete season. So for now, I'm going to say interesting idea, poor execution again, but I like where the narrative is going.
Yeah, look, as Scottish Dolores says, the right information at the right time is deadlier than any weapon. Yeah? Apart from a flamethrower, because I'm telling you now, someone's slagging me off. I'd be like, well, that's a bit out of order. If they shot me with a flamethrower, that would be definitely worse. I think there's no argument there. So anyway, so we get a street full of people arguing or fighting or fucking. No, that doesn't happen, but they should have done. Why not? Some people riding on the back of a car for some reason. They're loving life. To the sounds of a remixed Space Oddity, which is fine. I mean, it just feels like...
I like the remix. I like the remix. Yeah, I just didn't feel it had any... The music didn't really have any relevance to what was going on.
No, because David Bowie. Anyway, so just before Cow is about to be gunned down, Dolores steps in the way to take the bullets. Yeah. Obviously, you know, she's a robot.
He falls in love with her again.
Yeah, but, you know, well, Space Oddity, isn't it? But, you know, they have no effect on her. Yeah, but they did in episode 1. Why?
I didn't understand this. And I thought...
No, I think this
I
is
thought
important.
Maybe I'm being silly.
I think this is important. This is a purposeful choice to illustrate that Caleb is clearly bigger than we realize, and we've talked about this from the start. Dolores also knows this. Rehoboam also knows this. And some of the theories I have will reference this. But what I will say is that, you know, this is to highlight the fact that Dolores was manipulating the situation so that Caleb would find her.
So she wasn't actually injured by the bullets.
Correct. Correct. It's all a big rope-a-dope. And I think if that doesn't come clear, then this is stupid. However, I'm 100% it will be the way that the story goes.
100%.
Well, yeah, Teddy, innit?
Do you want to bet 5 million and get 100 million back? if it comes true?
Skid that.
Not good enough investment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, I agree. So anyway, Sakal, I mean, he doesn't know what's going on at this point. You know, he's standing there, he's monged out to Space Oddity, taking the shittest drug ever. And this woman that he's in love with now for some reason is not now dead. So surely you go, whoa, what's going on here? You've just been shot. But he's like, nah, don't worry about that. So we go back to Serac. We find out he's created a facility to house people. That are threatening his utopia, I guess. People that are diverging from...
Agitators.
Yeah, so diverging from what the system says is the way it should be, including his own brother. So...
He mentions something here, though, that... you know, I won't say too much, because perhaps it might make an appearance in Westworld Wanderings, but he does mention something about... outliers being sent to war or engaging in dangerous activities. Which of our characters do we know was in the war?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, just get away from my corner, please.
Yeah.
So, just stay away from my corner.
Just flagging it.
Yeah. You just back away.
That's good. All right. Well, anyway.
Walk away.
Yeah. Just walk away. Very Mad Max of you. So basically, Dempsey Sr. is told that that Jean had planned to kill him. So we're like, okay, yeah, cool. Little Sheep fella, played by Robbie Williams, wasn't it? Nah. Was that Robbie Williams that did his voice?
Mm. Maybe.
I think it was, maybe. Yeah. So anyway, now this happens later, but I'm just going to bundle it in here because I was just like, who cares? We see later on that Surratt kills Dempsey Sr. And he hides it with a fake plane crash. I guess I'm just like, yeah, just get on with it. I mean, that was so obvious anyway. I mean, you could tell that right from the beginning.
We know he's dead.
But yeah. So, a bit mad, isn't it? What's going on with his super strength, smashing the guy's head over and over again into the plane?
Probably just regular strength, really.
Oh, like, I wouldn't have thought
he got it from the he got it from the nuclear disaster that destroyed Paris. Yeah.
Hulk. Yeah.
Radioactive man. So yeah. We go back to...
Watch out, radioactive man. Watch out, radioactive man. My boy.
Sorry, anyway. Simpsons. Anyway. Oh, yeah, I got the reference. That's why I didn't just guess the fucking superhero name. Jesus. So anyway, we go back to Scottish Dolores and Benyade.
You like Benyade?
Look, you know, the high point of the episode, Stubbs comes back for no reason. He comes back to save him, doesn't he? But no, you forgot
about me.
Yeah, yes, we absolutely did forget about you.
What are you doing here? Why is he still wearing that? But how has he got in? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter anyway because, you know, they can go. You can just go anyway. So what's the point in all of this? Like, no, because look, he's too important. Huh? What's going on? Why am I here? Why have you taken me here? What is going on? But anyway, so they just leave. And I'm like, this is a mess, man. But fine. We then get, and I didn't mention it before, but I'm going to mention it now. So it's Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy. So
yeah,
she, I noticed for some reason...
Yeah.
So she's been in two episodes before this, and I can't wait to see where her character's going to go, because obviously she's a big famous actress now. But she keeps making these little appearances. Obviously, she wasn't content in gatecrashing our Fighting Vipers Black Mirror episode. She's now ended up in Westworld. So I can't wait to see her impact on this series. No, there's no impact because she just gets blown up immediately with Scottish Dolores and the rest of Serac's staff. So what's going
you're
on
late?
There?
Not really. I've been blown up.
Hey, you're late. Well, I'm going to blow everyone up, including me and you, Mantis. So it's like, okay. Bit mad, yeah. Bit mad.
No, I think she just likes being in on Fan Critical podcasts, yeah, to be honest.
That's it. That's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so that happens, and I was like, okay, fine. I mean, I don't really understand the point of that, but whatever. And you get Benyade and Stubbs are outside, and Benyade's like, basically, I'm important for some reason, and Stubbs are like, whatever. And that is how the audience is supposed to feel. It's like, look, the whole point of this was you now understand that Bernie is important, and everything else doesn't matter. So it's like, cool, right, fine. So we then get a tracking shot of the beach to the soundtrack of The Shining. Now, I'm going to say, it's not cool. It's fucking stupid. Just leave it alone.
Yeah,
leave it alone.
It made no sense. I love The Shining. And obviously, we have a Stephen King podcast. Check it out, Castle Rock Critical. We cover all major Stephen King adaptations, pretty much. And we just finished The Outsider, which was a HBO show as well. And so we love The Shining. We love everything Stephen King. Really. Yeah. Well, we also like to make fun of a lot of it as well. But this made no sense. I was literally looking at it going, okay, so where does this track play in The Shining? It's over the opening montage of the drive to the Overlook Hotel. What's going on in this scene is they're walking on a beach.
Yeah,
the Overlook Hotel is based in the mountains. It's a very windy road. It snows. This is a beach. with a shore, and there's people walking, and they're driving in a car in The Shining. So I was like, okay.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
What is the reference here? The references of The Shining were obviously going mad in isolation. And I was like, maybe this is just because we're all in isolation now. In post, they quickly thought, chuck this on, this will be funny, because they're all going mad in isolation. There's no other reason for the track to be there. And for me, I know you guys had issues with the other tracks. I said they didn't really work for me, but I could let it go. With this track, though, I was like, what? He's not even, the drug's not really even affecting him anymore, really. Like, is it?
Who knows? Who cares?
And I'll just add to it, actually. I thought an excellent use for the drug also could have been when the guy said, you know, what reality is this? The final reality. He said, no, what genre is this? The final one. And he goes, it's reality, baby. And I was like, okay, this could be fall into one of the theories that we've talked about, which is that of the fact that this whole world is actually a simulation. And this drug, when you get to the final stage, allows you to see the world for what it truly is, this simulation, where they're using this, you know, augmented tech to show the world in this pristine way. But we said it would be ravaged by war and also by climate change and all this stuff. And I thought that's where they were going to go with it. Turns out, no. Which I thought was disappointing. But carry on, John. Sorry
but
to
it's just like,
rant there.
No, but you are absolutely correct. It would be like, oh, so he took this drug and it turns out that, you know, that church is actually now a Nando's. And you'd be like, oh, no. Like, who cares, honestly? It's just shit. It just doesn't make sense. And the Shining soundtrack, I mean, the shot, it's not even a proper tracking shot. Like, what they could have done, no. If they wanted to just give a little nod to Shining, just literally do a tracking shot across the whole beach until you get to those guys. Fine. I mean, that would still make no sense. But at least they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. Just use the Jurassic Park theme. Like, that is about as relevant.
Hey, mate, Jurassic Park happens on an island. What are islands surrounded by? Beaches. They're on a beach.
Not necessarily.
Or just the Godfather soundtrack. No, or like, yeah. I don't know, whatever. You know. Like Fantasia.
Could have been one of the genres. Well, Jurassic Park is one of the genres.
Yeah, just pointless. But anyway. So we end up with Ash just shooting Liam. And as he bleeds out, we get a confusing montage, which I'm sure you'll go into in our Westworld wanderings, of Cal's past. And an absolutely ridiculous, cheap, shit movie trope of someone bleeding out. And before they can reveal what they know, they just die. So I'm really surprised that he didn't just turn to Caleb and go, like, and then Caleb just starts screaming no into the sky. Like, just go the full hog. And that could even be one of the genres. Like, so that might not even be happening. But it could be like, oh yeah. And then throw in a shit like soundtrack there as well. Of like an over the top film. That would make sense there. But they don't. And it's annoying.
Now, I thought it was interesting. It was interesting that Liam was going, get away from me, after he's been shot. And Caleb's trying to help him. And he's saying, get away from me. You did it. Caleb's like, what? Speak up. You did it. Get away from me. Is he actually referring to... Because think about this. Liam does not give a shit about Caleb, right? He means nothing to him. Would he use his last breath, his last words, telling Caleb that he killed his mate when he was in the war or whatever? Or would he be referring to his own death? Did Caleb shoot Liam?
Maybe. I don't know. I've got some theories about that. I mean, I've got some stuff about that. I mean, also, who cares? Liam's such a pointless character. I don't give a fuck. Like, to be honest with you, like, I think the reveal of that has greater significance, whatever he was saying. So let's, you know, and it is tropey, but let's hope it
well, anyway,
off in a satisfying way.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's worth noting at this point, they've just gunned down and murdered one of the most famous people in the world on a beach in daylight, But whatever, they don't seem in
the
any...
The world has gone to shit a little bit.
Well...
You know, that's what they're saying.
I know, but you say it's gone to shit. There's a couple of people having a fight in the street. Other than that, you'd still notice someone being gunned down. Like, but anyway, whatever. Yeah.
You
whatever.
Know what track would have worked better?
Go on.
What track would have worked better is It's the End of the World as We Know.
Yeah, why not?
That'd have been quite good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just some zombies running around. Just like, oh yeah, what are they doing here? Zombie world. Zombie land.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Great film.
Yeah, makes sense. So we go back to the airport where it's revealed that Sorak has been essentially narrating to Dolores.
See, I like that.
Yeah,
it's
like good, that. That's clever.
Good. Yeah, I like
clever.
That.
That was good, that. Yeah. That earned it one more bloob. So it went from one bloob to two.
I thought it got two bloobs right from the start.
No, for you it did, not for me, but there
you're
you go.
Making about as much sense as this season.
No, so basically I've added the percentages, so if it's 100% times by... But anyway, so he's now speaking with her, and as they face off, they both hold their own, you know. I'm sort of watching it and hoping that Sorak, you know, outdoes her, to be honest, because he's fighting for humanity, so... Yeah, we love Sorak. He's the hero. And then Dolores has a little dig at his brother, at Jean. Says, well, yeah, your brother's mad, though, innit? And he's not happy with that. He doesn't like that. So she hangs up on him. But I guess we then get the juxtaposition. So end of the episode versus the befuddled president at the beginning. We've now got Sorak that kind of looks like he's lost control and he doesn't know what to do. And he seems a bit lost and frustrated, and then we get the shot of the divergence, and it's only going one way. There's nothing he can do about it, and that's the I was about to say that's the end of the episode, and then just some guy turns up with a bag for Cal, but which is obviously important. I don't really see the point in that, but whatever. And that's it, and that's the end of the episode. So thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered it all, really, in all guises, and you know, I enjoyed it, but as we can see, you know, that there are missteps in the execution. Obviously, that bothered you guys more than me, basically.
You're thinking free bloob now, though, aren't you?
No, because I actually enjoyed the episode. Like, I'm just thinking about the feeling of the episode. I agree with everything to do with the genre stuff, but I actually kind of removed those filters in my head and just watched it normally in a way. It's quite weird, but that's the way I did it.
No, it's fine. So you think this is as good as the first episode? That's fine. So
in hindsight, I would have given the first episode a higher mark.
You'd have given it a what, sorry?
Potentially. A higher mark, potentially. But that's the beauty of hindsight.
Mm. So you're giving the first episode a 5?
Maybe.
Well, you just said you have. So anyway, so that's the end of our recap. But look, have no fear, because we're now going to hand the reins over to Len and his Westworld wanderings.
Hello, yes, welcome back to Westworld Wanderings. Crazy Reddit TVs!
Oh,
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Hell.
It's going to get scarier, like monkey news.
It gets worse
chimpanzee
every time.
Monkey news, you fuck.
Monkey news. Oh, he's written it down.
Carl's diary. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm going for there. So a couple of theories this week. I thought we'd focus on Caleb. Because, you know, why not? Something's going on there with him. And we talked about that terrible scene with Mr. Dempsey Jr., the tropey one. This is posted on Reddit by Expanding Exponentially. The theory is that Caleb is the agitator the system has predicted will destroy the world. You know. So I like this. All of Caleb's memories have been implanted during his rehab. Dolores has access and has seen that he is the one so to speak. The one obviously referring to Neo in The Matrix. Obviously a lot of parallels there. So she is edging him towards his destiny to destroy the world. So she's, I quite like this theory Morpheus, that Caleb... In a way. Yeah, good analogy there, John. That's correct. You know, another user has been big on this. U/Hillrow_Wood has said the Caleb divergence theory. What did Liam see through the glasses about Caleb? I think Caleb could be the one or the one divergent human that Rehoboam can't control. As we learn from Serac, divergences are often sent to war to be killed because the system can't accurately predict their actions. Caleb, being one of these divergences, is supported by Liam's line, "You think I killed your friend?" implying that it was because of Rehoboam that the soldiers were deployed in the first place and killed. So, Gareth, that's going on your war comment. That's a way that they get rid of these agitators, as Serac calls them. And I like the idea that Caleb... was sent to war for that reason. I also like the thought that he's been manipulated since coming back for another reason to stop him being an agitator. They're trying to change him or something. So I quite like these theories that Caleb is more central to the plot. Here's a more crazy one focusing on Caleb. It's picking up a bit of traction on Reddit, this actually. In different threads on the episode discussion, and there's a couple of other posts. I'm just going to generalize it. This I saw this post by U/Wardenator123.
Oh yeah,
big up the Wardenator. Theory about Caleb is the title. I'm starting to think that Caleb is Serac's brother. Yes, I know they don't look alike, but I have an explanation for that. I believe Serac had to get rid of his brother because he was an outlier or agitator. He then uploaded his consciousness into a host, like Delos attempted to do, but failed. Serac wouldn't want to get rid of his brother completely, since he loved him, but he would need to be able to control him so he wouldn't cause the end of humanity. I believe this is why Liam said, "You don't even know who you are." This would also make sense as why Liam looked terrified when he scanned him with his glasses and saw his profile. So the scanning stuff I don't think is relevant here, but what I will say is I've seen a couple of things about this, and it would be extremely interesting if this came to be true, because clearly Caleb is someone very important. The biggest danger to the system, or the biggest agitator, was Sean, or Jean, however you want to call him.
Definitely Jean.
And I think, you know, we know the stuff about this guy, Caleb, doesn't make any sense. Like, his appearance seems to be right, but his mother didn't know who he was. And there's all these little things and these little things.
Like this.
Memories that are muddled up.
I like this, Alexander. You've done well.
Yeah, I think it's got something to it. Yeah. There's a little bit of buzz being created about that at the moment. So hold your hats on that one. This one, the next one to finish off the Westworld wanderings this week, is posted by U/RowdyScouser69.
Hey! RowdyScouser!
Yeah, watch out. They're very rowdy. This is the fact that we talked about that Caleb could be the divergence in the world that that Rehoboam is terrified of, but it's actually Bernard. And that is why he's so important. And obviously, John, you referenced this. He wants us to know that Bernard is important. And I actually think the reason he's important for me is because of the theory last week, like we said, that he's actually got the key to all the park data and not Dolores. I think that's probably better. But this is talking about that. I think Arnold, or Bernard, is the agitator predicted to destroy the world. A couple of different subplots eerily link up to this. Bernard saying worlds bleed into each other. Clearly, his world would be bleeding into Arnold's. I don't really get that point, but it's one of their points, so I thought I'd read it. Bernard was specifically told he's the only one who couldn't be replaced. That is a line that is in the show. It's clear to me now it took time for Dolores to create the current Bernard/Arnold based on her memory. She has no opportunity to do that again. Bernard specifically has been given the option to choose a side. It seems as if his decision will have heavy influence. Why else would Dolores go to these lengths to give him that opportunity? Why would she want to show him everybody is already in a loop? Serac said there's an outlier he's failed to snuff out. How could you track down a dead man? Arnold's influence as an outlier is growing as his world bleeds into Bernard's. Almost makes me wonder if Dolores isn't trying to dig Arnold out of Bernard with the path she's given him. And remember, Bernard is based on Arnold, for anyone who forgets that storyline from season one. So, yeah, that's basically it, to be honest with you.
Just all a bit.
The fact that Bernard...
Just all a bit Bernard difficult to follow, though, isn't it?
Yeah. As usual, it is. And that's it for Westworld Wanderings this week. Some stuff in there about Caleb, but, you know, we always thought he could be a host or whatever, but it turns out he's actually probably more important.
I think one of the big mysteries of this season is who is Caleb. So I am interested to see how that
pans out.
Anyway.
All right, time to move on to... Good. Time to move on to some feedback. Some feedback didn't make it in time for last week, so here we are. So this is retrospectively talking about last week's episode, some of these. Okay. Diana Auer has had this to say. Hi, Diana. How are you doing? Hi, friends. Hope you're hanging in there. We are hanging in there. Hope you're hanging in there. A couple of thoughts on this week's episode. First and foremost, 5 bloobs for sure. Love the episode. So that's referring to last week's episode, guys. And she has some questions. Shapes is the first one. I'm interested to see what, if anything, the significance is of the use of shapes, specifically triangles and squares. Hale has distinct triangle earrings on, and there is a triangle on the door in the institution where William is being kept. However, that triangle turns into a square as Dolores steps into frame in her blue dress, prominently featuring her square belt buckle. Maybe it's nothing, but I found it interesting. You know, stuff like this is always very interesting to me. Costume design, room design, Gareth. No, I find it interesting because I feel that the show did used to have that level of detail. I don't think it does anymore, but I do think stuff like that used to be a hallmark of the show.
I know, but
some shows are put together that way.
You drown in that detail, though, don't you? Like,
you can drown. You can drown. You can drown. But let's not drown. Okay. The 5 pearls, she says. Holy hell. Yes to Dolores being in everyone. That was awesome. However, I'm not completely convinced that all 5 pearls are Dolores. Now, we've had some feedback on this as well. I think she took the 5 pearls out of the park, but made copies of herself, her pearl, on the outside. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the other pearls, Abernathy, Teddy, Clementine, etc., in the future. She needs an army. Maybe she's saving them. One thing that I thought about the past episodes is that Caleb and Jim Delos have a sort of parallel. Jim Delos always ended up, or his turning point, was always the interaction with Logan by the pool. No matter how many different fidelity tests he went through, as it stands, Caleb is predestined to commit suicide, as dictated by Rehoboam. It goes to show whether it's a giant machine, Robbie, nice, or the illusion of free will, as illustrated by the books about the guests in Westworld, humans, hosts, and future humans are very much alike. So glad that it looks like this season has turned around since episode 2. Really looking forward to the rest of the season. Be well and stay well. Thank you, Diana. And it would be interesting to know your thoughts after this episode. Please do write in again and let us know what you think about this latest one. Some good points there. All in all, very good stuff. Lani has had this to say. Hey guys, hope you are well and staying safe. Thank you, Lani, we are. Listen, I honestly do enjoy Westworld, although oftentimes I have no earthly idea what's going on. But I have to ask, how many freaking times is Maeve going to die? She's arguably the most powerful host because of her Jedi mind powers, so in last night's episode, I could not believe when I saw her stabbed and bleeding out. I get that you have to have a certain suspension of disbelief, but for Christ's sake, facepalm, I could hear John's voice saying, what's going on here? Anyway, I'm still Team Maeve. If there's still a Maeve to have a team.
Of course there
and
is.
And I hope she's repaired once again and we get Maeve versus Dolores showdown we've all been waiting for. Yep, very good point. And I will say that we did echo your thoughts that Maeve, the death felt flat and silly. And there is a definite facepalm for all of us in there. Death has become a thing of non-finality in this show.
Yeah, I mean, look, can she at least get my catchphrases right? You know, I wouldn't say what's going on here. I'd say, what is this? Like,
what are you? Yeah, what is this?
What
yes.
the
okay.
fuck?
Well, you know, Lani's, you know, what the fuck? Yeah, that's a good one. You know, Lani tried her best there. You know, she got it in between two, I think.
Yeah.
What's going on here is kind of like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Mixed with, you know.
It's fine. I like that. Anyway, I like living in the minds of
thank
people.
Thank you, Lani. That's good. Yeah. And John's famous now. People are trying to recite your catchphrases. Cowabunga, dude. Okay, Lane Garvey has had this to say. Hello there, 3 Minute Men from a gloomy Melbourne town. Ooh, Gareth.
Hello.
Respect.
Who is it?
It's from Lane Garvey. Anyway, I absolutely love Westworld, but I've been so disappointed with the latest season. Mm. However, I started listening to your podcast during season 2 because I loved hearing you decipher the clues and present crazy Reddit theories. Literally, the crazier the better. I know this season isn't as good as previous, particularly season 1, but can we please go back to a time when you guys pulled it all apart,
no,
detail by tiny detail? There were such good times pre-COVID, and honestly, being in isolation, I would have thought there's no better time than now to spend hours dissecting a TV show such as this. I mean, I'd do it myself, but you guys are just better at it. I'd love to hear all the little details I missed and how they relate to tiny strands of information in previous episodes and what that could mean for the future of the story. Please give me a reason to get out of bed in these bloody awful times. Otherwise, I feel I may have to start reading books again.
Right, okay.
This is absolutely 100% not a dig at you guys. I love listening to you three. I just want to rev you guys up a bit in the hope you'll be inspired to go back to the days of old and overthink the hell out of this show. I appreciate the content. May not be there, but that never stopped us before. Well, I believe in you. Inspiring? Question mark. Winky face. Seriously, love what you do. Thank you for the entertainment.
Well, look, I'm inspired. I'm inspired. Let's start this one again.
Yeah, sack this off.
I mean, to be honest...
No, I think we did go through this episode in detail. I think the problem that... with the show at the moment is... And you're right about, actually... you're right there, Lane. The show has lost those little details. Now, you know... in a previous message, you know, Diana's mentioning the shape of the belt buckles and stuff like that. And that's what I was saying in that. Some of that detail is gone now. So it is difficult for us to dig into it. What we're trying to do this season is what the show is doing. It's going through in a very sort of, here you go, here's exposition in your face kind of way. There's no subtlety. There's not much subtlety going on. And we're just trying to have a bit of fun with it if we can. We do need inspiring in terms of the quality of the show. I think John definitely needs a bit of inspiration. So did that inspire you, John?
I'm just thinking about all the exposition that my face is drenched in.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely exposition. Drink it all up.
Yeah.
No, I do agree. Look, it's difficult this season. I think we can all agree it's difficult. The details do not seem to be there like they were in the first season. And in the second season, they went too far the other way, you know? So I think that's why the second season we were like all over the place a bit. Theories here, theories there. Does this mean this? Let's read this passage from the Bible.
You can dig too deep and you keep digging, digging and suddenly you're fucked and you can't climb out and then
you end
dead.
Up in Australia.
So,
yeah. End up in Melbourne.
Well,
yeah. What I would say, Lane, is there is a reason to get out of bed even in these trying times, and that is the fact that the worst of Netflix is coming soon.
Fact.
And to be honest with you, Lane, you know, watch Watchmen, you know, if you haven't seen that. Check out the Watchmen podcast, because that we did go into a lot of detail, because the detail was truly there, and we were passionate about the comic as well.
Really loved it.
And I still say the detail is in this podcast, but it is more thematic than it is, you know, costume design, than it is reading passages from the Bible, because that stuff's just not in it anymore. That just doesn't seem to be where the show is going. It's less philosophical in terms of what text it's pulling from, other than Rehoboam, which we've mentioned, and we've been through the biblical story of that. That's my two cents.
The problem is you've got to enjoy the journey. So, you know, if you're on your way to Disney World, you know, everything on the way there feels brilliant. Whereas if you're on your way to your auntie's house and it's a Sunday and there's nothing on TV, it's just like, oh, this is grim, just get through it. So, and that's what this feels like. So, unfortunately, you know, I don't feel like Disney World is at the end of this episode, but or season.
Yeah. Mike Daffron has had this to say. I believe the last unaccounted brain pearl is most likely Hooded Justice.
Hey. That's good, that.
Classic.
Oh, Mike. Out of nowhere.
Thanks, Mike.
He's absolutely done it. I was really looking forward to hearing your boys' reaction to that. that's a nod to our Watchmen podcast.
An episode that you weren't in, actually, Len.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was when you went reined in and you know,
slagged off by one person. One. Where is he now? Nowhere.
Probably more.
Mm. Praised by everyone else. How so many podcasts has he made? Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, Mike says, love listening to your guys' podcast. Very fun to listen to, especially when you're being silly and joking around, which I hope you guys start doing more. I feel like this episode we've had a bit more of a laugh, to be honest with you. I listen to many Westworld podcasts and most of them aren't silly and funny. You guys are refreshing to listen to. He also does a podcast about Westworld called The Watchers on the Couch. Not saying check it out, just mention it. I like Mike. He gave us the Hooded Justice joke. And I'm going to say, go check out The Watchers on the Couch. Guys, go check it out. He says, just wanted to give you some appreciation. And I look forward to more from you guys. So thank you very much, Mike. Good on ya. Good on ya. And I'll check out your podcast.
Remind us of the name of the podcast again.
That is The Watchers on the Couch. The Watchers on the Couch. And I will check it out, as I said, once I've stopped editing these podcasts and arranging new ones. Toddy B has written in, hey fellas,
TB.
My thoughts on the episode. Pros, I enjoyed the Serac background story. I like seeing how Rehoboam was created and Serac's growing power.
Robbie.
And I'm still enjoying the new technology and the and they sprinkle in throughout the episodes. Cons, the genre drug was just so out of left field and not necessary at all to the plot.
Yes.
I feel like it was trying to do the Watchmen nostalgia thing. That's what we said. But really dropped the ball, in my opinion. When it cut to the romance genre, I almost shut my television off.
Yeah.
I think Gaz is Toddy B because it seems to be.
Honestly, every fucking week, you may as well just read out my summary again.
What was... Yes.
Some of the scenes were poorly cut together, unless I missed something. Dolores and Caleb are on a beach after Liam dies, and the next scene they're in a hangar chatting with Serac. No explanation of how they got there.
How they walked. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
We've got to walk to the airfield quickly through this sand. Why?
I'll say it again, and I promise this is the last time, but the invincible Dolores is just getting boring to watch. She never faces any resistance or problems she can't hack or kill. Some of the dialogue was really cringy. That this is reality line was bizarre. Yeah, I did reference that one as well. All in all, guys, I didn't like the episode. Hopefully you guys point out some things I missed, but I feel like it took steps back from last week.
Two boobs.
Unfortunately, I'm giving this two blueberries.
Mm, yeah.
Hopefully things improve. There are only three episodes left, and I hope you guys liked it more than I did. Well, I did, Todd, but it seems the others did not. Anyway, stay safe and talk to you next week. That's it for feedback. Very good feedback this week. Please do write in. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Your thoughts will get read out on the show and we will discuss them and agree or disagree with them. So that is fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. And now back to John in the studio.
Thanks, Len. It's a good one, that. You know, some interesting theories. I think they're all bollocks, to be honest. But, you know, I like the idea of the crossover with the Matrix. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Good fun.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves turning up.
Yeah, Neo just turns up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Anyway, so but that brings us to a close. It's been a long pod. Too long, I think, to be honest.
Catchphrase.
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you picked up on that. But look, if you have enjoyed this episode, again, shoot us over your feedback. You know, Len has just plugged fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. But there you go, you can have it again. We're always welcome to feedback on Twitter, FanCriticalPod, Instagram, Fan_Critical. And again, if you do want to donate some dollars and pick the stuff that we cover, you can do over at patreon.com/FanCritical. But that brings us to a close of a very long podcast. Too long, if anything, but good luck with the edit. So thanks, lads. Thanks, Len.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Gaz.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, and thanks for listening. Be safe and see you next week. Bye.
Who the fuck is Sean?